dinosaurs. Ever wonder about dinosaurs? In a river in Texas, right here is a picture of it. In a river in Texas is a picture of a dinosaur print where they walk through a waterbed and a man's footprint. Do you see them both there? The man's footprint and the dinosaur's footprint is in the same strata. One's not billions of years before another. They're all right there. And they were created by God, and they have become extinct. And we're wondering how. I was looking up, go on the internet this afternoon and see how they became extinct. You will be amazed at the stories you get. Well, there's a whole video shows a bunch of meteors and billions of years ago shooting to the earth. And when they hit the earth, it forms a tsunami and floods the whole world and kills all of the dinosaurs. Most of the dinosaur bones are gathered together in valleys or pockets where you would be in a flood, and they all go to one area when it all goes down, and that's how it all happened. And it made so much dust storm that the sun stopped shooting, and the ones that did make it didn't have enough fruit to eat, so they all died. Foolishness. And you say, why didn't everybody else die too? That don't make sense. It is amazing there. Dinosaurs were here. Turn to Job chapter 40 real quick, everybody. Job chapter 40, verses 15 to 25. Job chapter 40, verses 15 to 24. We see here the statements of the behemoth. We do not know what animal it is, but verse 15, it talks about that. It is just transliterated from the Hebrew into the English. We do not have an animal. As much as I gathered in my study, there is it goes back to some Egyptian. It's called a water ox, okay? And this big mammal is grass eating in verse 1 or in verse 15. And in verse 17, the biggest statement here, its tail is like a cedar. And you're saying, wow. In verse 19, it is the chief of God's way. It's the prime example of God's handiwork, the biggest. And then it's a land animal in verse 20. It's a water animal in verse 23. Notice how man captured it in verse 24. No one can catch it. No one taketh with his eyes, his nose pierced through the snouts there, the nose rings, and you take an animal that way. And this is a dinosaur stated in the Bible. So dinosaurs made it through the flood with man, and they became extinct. And you wonder, how did they become extinct? Go to the Bible, Genesis chapter 6. Everybody look at it. Genesis chapter 6. We're going to run through the Bible a little bit. I got all the time in the world. I don't preach tonight, so let's have fun. Okay, you're all teenagers. I want all the teenagers, sixth grade to second grade, I want you looking in your Bible. You need to understand the Bible, not to all of these evolutionists have the answer. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, wickedness is all over the world, and God is looking at his world. To start reading Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And every man is doing evil, and God repents. God just says, I'm sorry that I made man. And he says, I'm going to destroy man, and I'm going to destroy it with a flood. And so he just states it, that I'm going to destroy it with a flood. Verse 17, he says, I'm going to bring a flood, and I'm going to destroy how much of flesh? Verse 17? All flesh. And then chapter 7, verse 23. Chapter 7, verse 23. Chapter 6 is a statement before the flood. Chapter 7 is after the flood. Chapter 7, verse 23, and it says, and every living substance was what? Destroyed, except what was in the ark. And it just says it was all destroyed. And so God took care of most of the dinosaurs dinosaurs through that. Were dinosaurs on the ark? As much as we can tell, they were. Probably the younger ones. Did Noah go around and round them all up, or did God round up the animals for the ark? God rounded them up, not Noah. He didn't go, ooh, loo, 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 loo. It says God brought them to the ark. And that's a wild statement. In chapter 9, verses 1, look at chapter 9. This is a statement I haven't seen. Chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Noah is, God is making a covenant. Do you know a covenant is between God and you? A covenant is not like a contract. A contract is two people and they agree. A covenant is when I say to you, I'm going to give each of you $100 every day. It's not much of a covenant, okay? But God said, made a covenant, I'm going to save these people. Wow, a covenant. And he says, they're going to be my people. And God made a covenant that says he would never destroy the earth again with a flood. But he made a covenant there in Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. And it says that all the animals there, all the mammals and everything, and it says all them, all that Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Verse 2, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon everything that moveth on the earth, and of all flesh in the all fish in the sea. In your hand are they delivered. They are placed in your power. Verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even the green herbs have I given you. Before the flood and all of that, most were vegetarians. After the flood, they were given for food. Do you understand why they became extinct? There was fear in them of man, and man ruled them, and then man was eating them. And would you eat something was that looked as big as your house, or would you eat a little mouse? Okay, so they man, population rising, and the dinosaurs all there started fading away, and it just happened that they became extinct. And there is no dinosaur. Some said it was a hippopotamus. Some said it was an elephant. There are no elephants and hippopotamuses with tails that are big as cedars. And the dinosaurs had tails big as cedars. And we have the fragments of them still today. But they became extinct. And there's still some things around that looks like them. But they were here when man was here. And they made it through in the ark. And they still got to a world that the man started eating them, and they were afraid of man, and thus they became extinct by the flood and by man, okay? That's how they become extinct. And you realize, wow, that is something to realize. The family is becoming extinct. Huh? I just wanted to think about dinosaurs. They are, but we have a family. Thank God for our family here at Grace Bible Church, that it is not extinct at Grace Bible Church. We're going to have families that are growing, and a church that doesn't have the extension of the families that are becoming stronger through the children's department building strong families for the parents, and then the youth department, of which I'm proud of, then of all the church family, and that we build and produce godliness. We must produce godly kids. We must. And we see it falling apart all over the place. And I'm saying here, man, Deuteronomy chapter 6, real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and then I'm going to go in to the extinction of the family in America. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. You've already read it, and it's so important here. It says, now these are the commands and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. God taught it to Moses, and Moses was to teach it to the people. Okay? And they were to hear it in verse 3. And they were to hear it in 3 and 4, and to say, wow, the Lord our God, verse 4, is one Lord. Very important. And then number 2, they were to love it. Once you hear it, you're taught it, you hear it. And then verse 5, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. And you say, wow. Once you hear it, God's truth. You fall in love with it. And once you fall in love with it, you fear it. And that's what I'm going to end with today. Verse 2, and it says, "And thou mightest fear the Lord thy God." And then verse 3, it says, "After you hear it, you are observed to do it, that it might be well with you." And verse 2 again, "After you fear it, you keep it." And you keep it, the statutes. You start obeying them. And you just don't do it. You start obeying them. And then to love the Lord. And then after you start keeping them, you realize you can start teaching them. And verse 7, it says, "Teach them diligently while you walk, while you sit, while you rise up." And it's diligently. I encourage you to realize there must be diligent teaching. We must teach our children to pray. Is that right? That is very important. If you have children, our little class downstairs, the twos and threes, they teach them to pray. You say, "Well, that sounds simple." You go to some other places and see what they're teaching them there. Ours teach them to pray. Ours teach them to think of God. And that is so important. And we need to realize we must do that. And we got to teach them diligently. Parents, it's your job to read them out of the Bible, to have Bible storybooks, to talk about what God's doing. It's your job, huh? It's your job, and we must do it and realize, wow, it's my job as grandparent now to bring that up, to teach them diligently and to teach them at all natural times. And it's not a lecture, you know, okay, it's Bible time. You know, it's all the time. It's when you're sitting. It's when you're walking. It's when you're going to bed. Is that right? It's just natural. It's just common. It's just easy. And it should just be normal in our churches and in our homes. Look at verse 8 and 9. We don't do this much today. It was a cultural thing. It says, "Bind them upon your hands and upon your head." Every Jewish boy had a square on his head. They still have it today, about an inch by inch. And they wore it right here and had the Ten Commandments in it. And you just saw it yourself. If you looked at it very much, you become cross-eyed, and because it's right here. And it's a joke. And it's important that we realize that they saw it all the time on one another. And then they wore it. They still have, when you go over to Israel, they in their prayer time, they have a leather band they wrap around their arm all over the place. I don't know if you ever see it. They have wrap. It's just to remind them of God. And these were the outward signs of it. Verse 9. We can do this today. How are we to teach our next generation the principles and the precepts of God? We were to what? Write them down. Write them down inside our house and outside our house. We need to do that. It was in my home growing up. It's in my home now. Ron Lee puts them all over the place. You can't walk through our house without seeing Bible verses all over the place. And it's written. It's written. Written outside, written inside. This is how we are to teach them and to make a big deal out of it. Verse 17. Oh my. Verse 17. "You shall diligently keep the commandments." That's the key. To hear, to love, to fear, to obey, to keep, to keep, to teach, to diligently teach, to diligently keep. And it's wonderful. Verse 18, "Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee." God's way works. God's way makes you happy. God's way makes you have good kids. God's way works. And we must realize that. And we must pour it on because, wow. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, back to 10. "And when it be that the Lord thy God is blessing thee," just read verse 10, "as he blessed Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give thee good cities and to give thee houses full of all good things." Sounds like America in the 21st century. And it says, "You have wells that you didn't dig, somebody else did. And you have olive fields that you didn't plant, somebody else did. And when you're eating and when you're full..." Do you know when you're struggling, when you're hungry, when things are going terrible? Do we all sit down and pray more? Yeah. This is how to live for God when things are going good. And he says, verse 12, beware lest you forget what God is doing in your land. Beware. Verse 20, look at verse 20. When your son asks you, your little son, your teenager, asks you, what means all of these testimonies and statutes and judgments from God? What all these? It says, then, verse 21, this is most important. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in, brought us out to bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Tell your kids the things God's doing great. Don't miss telling your children when God answers prayer. Don't miss telling children when God moves in your life in an issue with family, or pulls your family together, or an illustration at work when God's at work. Share that. We need to tell the next generation, God did this with great grandpa. God did this with great grandma. God did this with my dad. God did this with your dad. And God's going to do it with you. Share the signs and wonders of God blessing and walking in your life, so they'll learn not to forget, but to fear God. Verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and swear by his name. Man, to fear God. To realize that he's the giver of life, he's the blesser of life, and he gives the right rules, and to obey those rules, we're blessed, and to realize I want on his team because he's God, he's good, and I want to serve him, I want to honor him, and he blesses those who honor him, he curses those who run against him, and I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to swear by his name. I'm going to tell the truth because God's true. And this is the way we're going to live. And then verse 14, it says, ye shall not go after the other gods, the gods of the people that are around you. We are put in the midst of America. Was there a day that America was doing right? There was a day. That's been a long time ago. Ever since about 1950, when Elvis hit the stage and all morality went down to the bottom, and all the activities of our world and humanism and the churches went into more entertainment than training and teaching, and the homes died. I blame the preachers dying first, the seminaries dying, then the churches dying, then the homes dying, then the country dies. Is that right? It happens. The fiery in the pulpit, the Bible in the pulpit, and to state this is right, this is wrong, and to state this and realize the other gods. America, can you believe what's happening in America, calling what's right and what's wrong? Can you believe what issues are being pushed, and what the governor of North Carolina has been going through? Is that right? Can you believe these things? And you're sitting there going, wow, I never thought America would get this low. That wrong is called right and right is called wrong. How'd we get here? The family. We need godly families. I praise God for the godly families at Grace Bible. I praise God. We can't control what goes on outside in our community and everything, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's important. Young people, teenagers, young adults, and older, we must all realize we are being pounced on by an evil one. We are being attacked. We are at war. Our culture right now, in the last 25 years, has turned from being influenced by Christian to now being anti-Christian. And it's moving in a terrible direction, and the family is suffering badly. We build our church on strong families. And it's hard to go out and find a strong family because they're so messed up with the world. And we're sitting there going, wow, what do we do? And we cry for them. and you have counseling sessions, and you used not to have counseling sessions on which sex you are. We never had that. We never had counseling sessions of who's obeying who. Does the parents obey the children or the children obey the parents? You know, we have suicide going on. We have kids killing their parents. We have a mess out there. As for me and my house, we must produce it. And this Deuteronomy 6 is so important. I want you to read Deuteronomy 6 with your children this week and think it through, because it is the foundation of a strong home. But we have a problem today. We have a problem. Verse 24. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always." To fear Him, to do right. Whether we feel like it or not, whether the world is doing it or not, whether it's popular or not, whether it's in or not, huh? It's God's way. I cry for America. I cry for America. The family is being destroyed in America. The family in the USA is almost becoming extinct, and it is in danger of extinction. Is that right? It is in danger. I've been watching it for the last 30, 40 years, and it's just the devil's just messing it up, and see our kids just making poor decisions and mess and mess and mess, and then having families and making poor decisions and having mess and them having... Is that right? And it just... Wow. God, what do we do? What do we do? And I say, God, help us. That's why we're doing this series. We're doing a new series here called Building a Strong Family. I've ordered these books by Chuck Swindoll. We'll have them in next Sunday if you want to read along with me. And to realize we must build godly character, strong families. And this week is, we're about to see the extinction of strong, godly families in America. And we must pray and we must do something about it and say, God, help us. What's destroying the family? What's destroying the family? Each one of you are going to get a paper this morning as you go out. And it's called What's Destroying the Family. And this is something to catch, and I'm just going to hit it here and close, because we need to realize we are at war for our family. Is that right? You're at war for your family. If you're older, you're at war for your grandchildren, and you see some things sucking the life out of our kids and teenagers, do you? And you're sitting there going, God, help us. God, help us. And what can we watch and be ready for? This man I got this article from says four things. There are many things destroying our country and destroying our homes and killing our homes. And what do we got to do? He said the number one thing killing our homes is we're too busy. Too in a big hurry. Huh? Are we? Hurry, 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 hurry. And he just says it is important to get to prioritize our families in harmony with God. He says hobbies, sports leagues, clubs, jobs, career pursuits, even school activities, if we're not careful, just pull us away. Just busy, 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 busy. Are we in the rat race? Do you know what's the problem with the rat race? The rats are winning. That's the problem. And somehow we got to figure out how to slow down. Is that right? Now, we don't need to stop, but we got to realize this is priority. We must, if we're too busy to spend time with our family, we're too busy. If we're too busy to listen, we're too busy, we're too tired, we're too in a hurry. And we got to figure out what's driving us, and we got to reorganize our priorities to line up with God. What's driving us apart from our family? And we must not be like Eli and be too busy to set up things and say, we're going to do right. Too busy. How can you slow down? How can you take time for God, for family, for life, for reality? Huh? You know, hurry up, preacher. We got to go, Dave. We got to go. We got to go. I'm going to keep you long today. So Secondly is materialism. Things, stuff, you know that. Used to be we needed stuff. Now it's all we want. And it's just killing us. The financial, one man said, they surveyed many families, and one of the biggest thing was just the financially strapped of all the families. And we used to have stuff that we need. Now it is as we want. And then the want and needs being fuzzied. And it's hard to catch that. And we're just, you know, we're worshiping our possessions. And we're never satisfied. And much of it is self-imposed. And we've lost the word in the Bible. It's called be content. Is that right? Be content. And there's verses here given. Each one of these has a bunch of verses for it. I'm just hitting the highlights there. You know, we sacrifice our family for temporal things that are not of eternal value. And we got to realize we do not have to keep up with the high society. We don't have to be busy, 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 and then after stuff, stuff, stuff. Does it make you happy? No. And our kids are being bombarded with it, of the standard of I want this, I want this, I want this brand, I want this brand. And growing up in West Virginia, we didn't worry about brands. We just wanted to have shoes. And it was important there. And to be happy. Wow, we have so many choices. Are all the choices just killing us? They're just killing us. And somehow we got to just figure out, we got to simplify life. Big deal. And that is important. The third one is pleasures. Vance Havner said, pleasure is the devil's substitute for the joy of the Lord. Think about that. The pleasure is the devil's substitute for the joy of the Lord. It leaves us empty. We are pleasure addicts today. From one fun thing to another fun thing. And then all of a sudden church has had to be fun and entertaining. And we're messing up the true church for all of the fun and entertainment because it's not exciting and thrilling. We need to let God be our pleasure and delight our souls in the Lord. Busyness, materialism, pleasure. The fourth one is the biggest. It's called TV, internet, media, technology, all of the things that we have, movies, video games, cell phones, iPods, music, secular, godless secular music. Is it killing our young people? Killing our young people. And all the TV shows on, not all of them, most. And the dad looks like he's stupid, and the kids look the smartest, mom looks like a fool, the family is all a joke, truth is gone, and everybody's me-ism, and it's a mess today what's going on. It says television, it says one leader's quote here, it says television programming is polluting the souls and brainwashing the minds of our young people and destroying the spirits of our homes. Television is a pipeline through which the sewage of this world flows right into the home. Oh me, is that right? And we need to, no. And we need to control and to realize that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's amazing. It robs our time. It exposes us to too much evil. It deadens us to sensitivity of sin. It makes us mostly acceptable to forms. It's the most acceptable form of addiction, watching and hearing and listening and all the media and all the technology. God says this, and I close. But God says not to set any wicked thing before eyes, Psalms 101 verse 3, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, Ephesians 5, 3 to 13. We are to think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, of good report and virtuous, Philippians 4, 8. We are to be wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning evil, Romans 16, 9. We must realize there's a war going on for our family. Let's put a picture of a real family up. Picture of a real family coming in. Here we see mom and dad fussing the times and the kids holding their ears and wishing it would go away. We must restore the family. It is being bombarded. There is a war on the family. It is being waged by humanism. It is being waged by our culture. it has taken over our culture and all of the media and all the technology, and then it's driven by materialism and pleasure and busyness, and we're just going crazy. Huh? We're going crazy. You got to stop. You got to say no to some things, and you got to realize that that's not going to be in my home. We're not going to have that music. We're not going to have those movies. We're not going to have those games. This is the way we're going to have this game. We're going to have this movie. We're going to have this. Is that right? You're going to have to say no to some things and yes to some things. And you know my policy. For every no, there should be a yes. It's a very good, important thing. If you're going to say no to this music, please find some good music. If you're going to say no to this event, try something else. Just don't say no. And we must be creative, and we must realize they're trying to destroy, they're trying to kill us, they're trying to just brainwash us, they're trying to manipulate us. We are being totally manipulated to be godless, to be antichrist, and to walk without God. And to be discontented and to be unhappy and to just be miserable, our whole culture. And we got to say no. With God's help, you must win this spiritual war for your family. That is the fact that it must happen. And the only way we can make our family strong and thriving and not just surviving is the Deuteronomy 6. Put the next picture up. This is in your bulletin. And I trust you put this up on your refrigerator. I trust that you put the pictures up in your bulletin. They're for a purpose. And we must love the Lord our God. And we must get it to the next generation. We must talk about it. Just not lecture. It's just common, natural. When we're sitting, when we're laying down, when we're working, we're in this for God. We must spare the family. There's a war going on for the family. It's being destroyed. And it's being purposely destroyed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And our culture's caught up in it. And we're in a mess. We're in a mess. But there's a Lord that can lead us to the right direction. There's truth that sets us free. And for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In our church, we're going to serve the Lord. We're trying to help families come in and go up for God. And children, well, I want this or I want that or everybody else has this. No. God's way. You're to fear God. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Fear God and let Him guide you. Fear God. You'll be blessed. We need Christian homes. Amen. Jim and Anita is going to come at this time and sing for us Christian Home. And I want you to turn in your hymnals to 525. Everybody in your hymnals. Look at your hymnals. Get your hymnals out. 525. They're going to sing this song. And this is very important to catch this, to realize we must have Christian homes. Jim and Anita, thank you.
Me to share a few verses with you on being a mother, and two of the verses that came to my mind right away were the one in Exodus 20, and it's repeated again in Ephesians 6, where God says, honor thy father and thy mother. Every one of you in here today either had or still have a living mother. You are to honor that mother. That is a commandment that God gives us with promise. And there are many warnings in the scripture that if you do not honor your parents, there is God's curse on you. He that wasteth his father and chasteth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. Don't be that kind of a child, but honor your mom and your dad. And be thankful if you had a mom that taught you the scriptures, like we read in Timothy, that Timothy had. He had a godly mother and a godly grandmother.
Counselor and guide, where every child.
Just like the dinosaurs, and we must not let it happen. How many this morning would say, "Preacher, I'm in this fight for the lifetime, for the long haul, because we must produce godly offspring. We must." And maybe if your children, adult children, aren't doing right, the story's not over. Keep doing right, because right is blessed and right is good, and all of these are for our good. Even though so much is wrong, is being propagated by music, by movies, by media, by technology. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How many this morning say with uplifted hand, "Preacher, count on me with all of my being. I'm going to diligently train and keep God's commands." Pray for me and my house. Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? Grandparents, parents, children, teenagers. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In this day of the destruction and extinction of the godly family, we're going to be a godly family. We aren't going to be perfect, but by God's grace and God's help, we're going to do right and pray and lead and guide our children to do right. Any others? Preacher, include me in that prayer. Include me in that prayer. Raise your hand. Any others? That's important. Amen. Amen. We must. We must. Let's pray for one another. Let's fight for one another. Let's love the Lord and the truth and bless our families. Lord Jesus, these are days that as I've gotten older, I just cannot believe what is called right today and what is called normal and what is called accepted and what is called Well, this is the good life. Lord, help us. Lord, help righteous, God-fearing Bible people to notice the evil of our culture that is bombarding us and flee from it. Turn it off. Don't listen to it. Help our teenagers not to be taken in by it. Lord, help them to see that that curses you, that destroys you, that may gives you misery. Lord, just give wisdom, give understanding, give clarity, that they don't go those paths and just reap the wretchedness of a wicked life. Lord, save our kids, save our teens, save our young married, save our families. Lord Jesus, you wanted us to do right and to be blessed. And that's the way life is meant to be with you. Lord, help us to notice the evil and to flee from it, to run from it, to call it what it is, and help our children and our teens to realize we're trying to preserve the family for righteousness' sake. And when you do right, you are blessed, you are happy, you are content. It is wonderful. God, give us strong, godly, character-filled families. That's our prayer. And Lord, bless us as we start this series next week. Lord, help us as we talk about manhood, and the following week, motherhood, womanhood. Lord, help us to save the family, build strong families. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Greet one another. Happy Mother's Day.